The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Kevin from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 454 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. And Michelle and I are continuing our conversation with Laura Gilbreth and Lee Zimmerman as we review the 2017 Star Wars The Light Side Edition, which was out in California with Disneyland and California Adventure. So without further ado, let's get back to our discussion. All right, so let's go on to the half. My favorite course out there. Really? So that's my first question. Is it the same as it was last year?
Well, again, same thing. It changed, so it started going south instead of north. And essentially the first 4.5 miles of the half marathon were identical to the 10K the day before, with the exception that when we came out of the castle, we ran down Main Street. We didn't do the loop out through Frontierland and Adventureland. But other than that, that first part was exactly the same as what we ran the day before. And then when we went left instead of going backstage at DCA, we actually did go out onto Harbor Boulevard and then down into Garden Grove, and past the cosplayers who were at about mile 8 and then again around just before mile 9, and then back over to Harbor and up to Catella, which where the mile 12 was, and then finishing back behind the Paradise Pier Hotel and the finish line there by the Disneyland Hotel.
So yeah, I think the outside of the park course was exactly the same.
Yeah, the outside was exactly the same. Yeah.
Can I just say that out of every guest that we have on the show, including all the hosts, you are the best person to explain. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's
they
just
do their homework.
With me. No,
they do their
no,
homework.
Laura, just like she, I have to look at a. Maybe you are looking at a map, but it's just you're really explaining very nicely. So thank you.
So for those listeners who have never been out there to do a Disneyland / California Adventure race. One of the things that they may not be aware of is, and you just mentioned it, and that was the cosplayers. So I was going to ask you if you could comment on what you saw during the half marathon as far as the cosplayers go.
That sounds like a question made for Lee, but go ahead, Laura.
Yeah.
Lee is entertaining the cat right now, trying to keep her quiet. So they invite cosplayers to come out and cheer along the race course, and they have them in two separate areas, out in the one of the neighborhoods in Garden Grove, and they just about any Star Wars costume that you can think of, any character you can think of, you're probably going to see along that section of the course. So there were tons of stormtroopers and X-wing pilots. The thing that impressed me this year is there were a number of people representing the new Rogue One movie, which, of course, just came out, you know, in December. So it hasn't been around that long. But there were all these people with shore trooper armor looking great. They're just fabulous.
And there was a Commander Krennic. I'd say there's probably 150 cosplayers between the two spots.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, there were 4 or 5 cars that have been decorated like crazy Star Wars vehicles and stuff like that.
There were at least 2 R2-D2s and a couple of BB-8s.
Yeah. I mean, we have, because of Comic-Con and WonderCon, which is in Anaheim, I mean, there's a pretty strong 501st and, you know, cosplay community for Star Wars. And it's funny because actually one of the engineers I work with was there as an X-Wing pilot, and had told me weeks ahead of time, you know, are you going to be there? And they love a chance to get dressed up in all of their movie authentic regalia. And, you know, we're always saying thank you. And I think they're having a great time. And I have not noticed that the number has this is the third year that the number has not fallen off. So they still seem to be getting a real kick out of coming out. And,
it's really charming. It really is a charming aspect of Disneyland. The cosplay, the community that's out there, it really makes it special. And yeah, I saw a picture of you, right? Weren't you? That was I was saying to Lee before the show started that one of the things I enjoyed most about the Facebook post, it was just the look of pure joy on Lee's face.
Always curious to see what Lee has.
Yeah, but did you see the picture of him? Go ahead, Lee.
Well, I mean, there was a couple pictures in the parks. I was a Jedi for the 10K and an X-Wing pilot on Sunday, and I got to say the photo pass, the Run Disney using the photo pass photographers, certainly on the West Coast, has been awesome. There's lots of them. They take great shots, especially in the early morning hours when it's kind of difficult. And so I think my two favorite photos are both, you know, nice, dark. One, I'm goofing off, you know, in my X-Wing costume with my arms out like I'm an X-Wing. And the other one, I've got my lightsaber over my head. But yeah, there's another one with the cosplayers where you can see that, you know, I'm with a half dozen folks in various iterations of X-Wing fighter pilots, and I'm in the middle of them, since that's what I had on for a costume too.
That was my favorite.
They just thought it was awesome. There was a surprising number of X-Wing pilots as costumes.
You're the only one with sneakers in that picture. I know. I'm looking at it right now. And Zenza's, it looks like.
And they liked my hat, and I said, yeah, it was a lot more comfortable than trying to either run in a real helmet or carry it, which I saw some crazy guy who actually carried his replica X-Wing pilot helmet for the entire 13 miles. And that just to me seemed like a crazy thing.
Wow. Very cool.
Now, you mentioned community sport. I mean, the other part when you're out running, so Avengers and Star Wars, you get the cosplayers consistent for all four of the races, because again, you a half marathon, you have to go out and run in the streets of Orange County. Disney has had really strong support from either dance groups or cheerleaders or high school bands. We didn't have any dance groups, but we certainly had probably 10 or 12 different schools worth of cheerleaders and, you know, 8 bands or so. So it's not constant entertainment, and it's quiet when you're running. There's at least one spot where you kind of run through a neighborhood and, you know, they're trying to be quiet. But in general, they try to keep it from being completely boring while you're out there for the majority of the race, you know, just sort of running through the commercial streets. I don't know. It's what they can do.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm just looking at these pictures really great. I noticed, Lee, that you ran in two different pairs of sneakers. You ran in one pair for the 10K and another pair for the half.
He's photo stalking you, Lee.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, that would be because I alternate sneakers on race days. Very because, good. You know, it takes more than 12 hours for your sneakers to uncompress.
That's correct. No, it's very true.
The picture of you, like, at X-Wing, you're actually floating above the air, it looks like. Oh, no. he's got one foot in the air. Wow.
So let's talk characters. How were the characters for the half?
I think we just were talking characters. Really? No,
well,
I'm just teasing.
We didn't. Yeah, there were lots of characters out on the course who were running as opposed to posing for photos. The characters were about the same as they were for the 10K. The exception was Kylo Ren was not out for the half for photos. Instead, they had him in with some of the Jedi masters doing the Star Wars routine, which I think lightsaber routine, which Lee talked about. And then they also had Sabine and Ezra from Rebels were over in Paradise Pier area. So that was I think the number of character stops was the same. They had a few other things, like they had Captain Phasma wandering about when we went under the train tracks there on Main Street. So she was up above there stalking and posing for photos. I got a picture of her, but she was up, so you couldn't be with her. And then they had stormtroopers out on the race course at Small World Way that were posing for photos.
Was still not as good as the Paris race. Yeah. I mean, that still is the best of any Run Disney race ever in terms of, you know, characters per mile, but about consistent, I think, with the last year, and fairly consistent with all the other races we've done out here.
Yeah. Wow. So one thing I don't think we've talked about was sort of all the music when we were generally in the parks, and even sometimes backstage, there was tons of Star Wars music being played. And so that's pretty inspiring and fun to listen to. And then the tunnel where we ran under the parking area between DCA and Disneyland, they had lights and sort of lasers in there and music playing where it sounded like you were in a space battle. So there were green lasers sort of flying, which I think were the fighters, and then there were the red dots that were like the X-Wings fighting back, and it was really cool.
That was fun, and then it was cute because the cast members were trying to keep us on one half of the road. And so they had their, what I call the parade wands, you know, the little LED flashy things they use for crowd control. And they were using them like lightsabers. And, you know, as some of the runners would go by, the ones that had lightsabers of their own, you know, they'd have little mock battles and stuff like that. So I do have to say that's one of the fun things. Those cast members were good. Traditionally, someplace backstage in two or three places, you'll get a big batch of Disney custodial folks who will have Mickey hands on, who we will be doing and really encouraging people to do.
Like the third shifters or something?
Yeah, the third shifters are there. And then both races this time, and we had not seen this before, they had a mix of cast members in front of the store, the Star Wars Star Traders. There were 20 of them that had lighted lightsabers. Wow. That were there sort of, you know, yelling for people and exhorting them on and everything. So still, I mean, they do it four times a year now, and they're coming in, most of them early or staying late. But I got to say, the cast members are still very, very enthusiastic and seem to be enjoying it and get a kick out of the races.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Wow. So will you do it again?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course you will. Of course you will.
Yeah, this is a really fun race weekend. The theme is great, and it's just really a lot of fun to be there. And really, weather-wise, I think this is the best weather that you get for a Disney race is this particular weekend. Because it's in January, it's generally cool. Generally, it doesn't rain. And it's just really, really a good weekend to be out here.
So how, go ahead, Laura.
Well, one thing I was going to touch on before we forgot about it was the medals this year, the Coast to Coast medal. There's actually a new Coast to Coast medal this year because it's the 10th anniversary of the Coast to Coast. So it's much bigger than it was in the past. And
it's blingier than before.
And it has a like a map or a globe on the bottom, and it says 10th anniversary. So it's a nice medal. We do not have that one yet, but we'll get it next month.
I was going to ask you about the post-race refreshments.
I was wondering when that was coming.
I think they've made it a little bit better. Now, the thing that I was thrilled about finding in my box this year was Nutella.
Oh, Laura, he set you up. Was. He set you up for some specific answer, and you miss it. What's the one thing Mike wanted in the post-race box?
Oh, the chocolate milk. Yes, we had chocolate milk available at the finish line of the half marathon. There was a Nesquik truck, but it wasn't easy to find. It was sort of tucked over between the stage and one of the photo backdrops that they had. And I just happened to see it because I wandered over to the photo backdrop.
Yeah, that finish area is tough to find anything. Yeah. No, it is. In Disneyland, I know it's really, everything is really, it's not spread out like it's in Orlando. It's they have to be very careful how they put all the water and the bananas and everything. So I can imagine how tough it would have been to find that.
Yeah, well, this was outside the runners only area. It was actually in the area that was accessible to anybody.
Oh.
So technically, you know, a spectator could have gone up and gotten chocolate milk.
I noticed on the Run Disney website they're one of the official sponsors now, Nescor.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, I think they did it for the Avengers half or superheroes half also.
Oh, Mike. So it's just,
you're welcome, Nescor. I shouldn't have to buy another quart of milk for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I will tell you that I missed it, but then that's because I was making a beeline for the brand new second Starbucks in downtown Disney, which is down at the second, or out at the west end of downtown Disney, as opposed to the other one that's close to the two parks. So
just as busy.
Actually, it was nice. Wow. I mean, there was a little bit of a line outside, but I don't think either morning it took me more than about 10 minutes to get through the line and have my yummy mocha post race and be off again. So, again, I think the combination of not having everything finished through downtown Disney and having two of them, again, that's a nice thing that the community, he puts in air quotes, does, is any place that has anything even least bit breakfasty that's in downtown Disney, I mean, in quick service, opens at like 4 a.m. Hmm. So that, I don't know that it's so much for the runners, but certainly for the spectators and their families can hit something. And I guess you could pick up a Starbucks or, you know, a coffee from the donut place on your way into.
Well, I usually see people carrying cups into those pre-race area. Yeah.
So before we wrap up, I just have to ask recently retired Lara, who is wearing a new race shirt every day since the end of October, correct?
Yes.
Pretty much. Yeah. She's at home. So how, we have some more now to add. You have like another week's worth.
I have three more now, yes.
Okay, so how, are you making sure you're not repeating, right?
Yes, I actually went through my race shirts before I retired and I put them in chronological, reverse chronological order. So I put them in a box, a plastic storage box. And as of Friday, I was halfway through.
Wow. So that's November, December, and January.
In January, okay. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's one of my favorite things I look for on Facebook every day is to see what shirt you're wearing.
Oh, thank you.
And I have about half of them, I think. Probably mostly the Walt Disney World ones.
Yeah. Cool. So it's been fun because some of them I've dug out and said, oh, well, that's kind of a nice shirt. And other ones I've said, oh, man, now I remember why I never wore this one ever again.
And do you have a whole separate room for all of your medals, both of you?
We should.
The good news is we're lucky enough to have an exercise room, and there's a large number of metal racks in there, in addition to the original racks that we put in each side of our bed when we didn't know quite how crazy we were going to get. So
I think I have 2 years worth of medals now that aren't displayed anywhere.
Wow. Yikes. Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So my guess is that next up for you two is the dark side.
Actually, yeah. Princess.
Oh, you are going to Princess. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, we are not doing dark side this year.
You're not doing dark side.
Oh. No, not this year.
We have to leave room for the people that want to do the Kessel. And it was funny because, and you mentioned it, we ran into a lot of people who could not get in to the light side last year to do the Kessel run who, you know, we're very excited about the opportunity to do it this year.
Yeah.
Now, in reality, we have something else to do, which is why we won't be there. But it sounds much more, you know, good to say that we're just trying to leave two more spots for people that can get their Kessel run.
Well, I must commend you for your generosity.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, we once again, guys, we love you. We thank you very much for spending the time to do your homework and do a very, very thorough report on the Star Wars The Light Side Space Challenge. We're hoping to see you guys soon. We won't be going down to Princess, but I'm sure we'll see you sometime this year.
Well, you got to come out to California.
Yeah, we may very well do that sometime in the fall. We'll see. So once again, thank you very much, and good luck in the Princess.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So for Laura Gilbreth, for Lee Zimmerman, for Michelle Scrivener-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, may the force be with you.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.